Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Mickey Bod Podcast. I am your host, Jared, alongside Alyssa Antonelli once again. Welcome to the most magical podcast on Earth, as I like to call it. This is the Mickey Bod Podcast, where we talk about all things Disney, from the parks to the cruise line to the streaming service to the movies to places to sit on a bench and drink a Disney coffee. You name it. Doesn't really matter. We cover it all. And today, we are going to continue along with our series we have been going on about for the last few episodes, which is Disney for All, a series called Disney for All. And this series essentially covers how to plan your Disney vacations depending on who's in your group. So we have done a Disney for Adults series episode. We have done a Disney for Couples episode. And now we are on today, we're talking about Disney traveling with little ones. That means kids, you know, 10 and below. We'll talk about infants, toddlers, and then just kids in general. So very specific to bringing kids along, and specifically young kids, which, believe it or not, my co-host will have more to say about this than I will, because I've never had children. However, our co-host has three boys, so she will be able to handle this. Alyssa, thank God you're here for that.
Happy to be here. I feel like we're getting closer and closer to that 100th episode. We're crawling. We're not crawling, but we're getting there.
It's coming.
Episode 76. This is exciting. And I love, as I said before, I love series. So we're just continuing on with another series. I hope that everybody listening and watching likes our series. And as you always say, Jared, we're only offering advice and insight. What we say is not the be all and end all, but I'm excited to talk about Disney with families. I do have a little wee experience with Disney with families. My kids are pretty much grown now, but we've had many a vacation at Disney with young kids.
Yeah, no, I mean, your kids have definitely grown up a little bit, can confirm. They're all big kids now, but I will say, I'm sure you have plenty of, you know, not just fond memories, but, even the memories of things being a little bit of a handful on how to tackle a Disney day when you got, younger kids. I've heard a few of those stories over the years of working with you and it brings me back, because I'm one of five, and I remember seeing my mom and my stepdad, you know, carrying kids and pushing strollers and still able to make it all happen. And I think this is a really nice moment before we jump into the episode to just, like, big thank you out there to all the moms who persevere, the dads who persevere, who still make those Disney trips happen. Because what we're going to talk about today in this episode is we're going to be giving you a lot of tips and tricks on how to tackle those Disney days with little ones. But at the same time, you guys being able to pull it all off is really amazing. I look back so fondly at my trips now and look back with my mom, and I'm like, how in the heck did she do that? Because I go to these parks almost every day for the blog, and I see kids hanging off dad's shoulders and kids asleep in strollers, and some kids crying, some kids laughing. It's crazy. It's impressive how parents are able to pull it all off for the sake of memories and for the sake of doing it all, even if not every moment is as magical as you'd like it to be.
Well, that's true. I mean, and I think, Jared, when you have your own kids and you do that, you'll have an even deeper appreciation, say, oh man, you know, and like I said, your mom had five, which is two more than I had. I am laughing a little bit when you mention about, like, some of the stories that you've heard about my kids, because, you know, just for our viewers and listeners, the funniest part about it is that my oldest son is now a good friend of yours. And we're talking about these stories when he was, you know, it wasn't last year when these stories were told. This is, you know, going back when kids were a lot younger. But it is funny because now you obviously are, you know, friends with my oldest son, and, you know, kind of laughing about that a little bit. But the biggest piece of advice that I say to parents is don't skip the Disney vacation because you read the nightmares or you see the pictures or you hear the stories. Just pack your patience and realize that you're making memories. And I know people say, oh, my kid will never remember it. You know, they might not remember the you know, exactly everything that they did, but they're going to remember that, you know, you took them there. And that's the most important thing. Yeah, I'm sure, Jared, you don't remember every detail of every trip you took when you were younger, but they all kind of form a picture. They all tell a story of your childhood going to Disney. And those are priceless.
No, I mean, I couldn't agree more with what you just said. I mean, I think back to a lot of my trips when I was a kid, and obviously I don't remember all that much, but I do remember, you know, going on that ride for the first time, or I do remember, you know, going on this ride with my brother for the first time, or finally being tall enough for this, or my brother being tall enough for this. Yeah, exactly. And these are things that they do stick with kids, like long term, and you're not going to get every moment to stick with them, but major moments will. And the only way you make that happen is to take these trips and to take these vacations and have making travels help you.
Yeah. And I think those major moments, again, you might not remember the particulars, you know, pictures and videos, certainly. But those, each individual one creates a big storyboard. And those are the things that you remember. You know, you might, again, you might not remember, you know, where you had your first hot dog at Walt Disney World, but you remember the big moments, and those big moments do create the big picture story.
Look, I remember some good, some bad. It's okay. I once got lost in Animal Kingdom at 7 years old. True story.
That's a scary part to get lost in.
Yeah, I was seven. It was my first trip to Disney, and I'll never forget walking, taking a turn towards what was going to be Everest. It was just tracks at the time. It was just being built, and I followed someone who I thought was my grandmother. It was not. And quickly found out that woman was, in fact, not related to me. But yeah, walked right up to a cast member, and she helped me find my family. But
right there, Jared, hold on, time out. That's part of the narrative of this episode.
Yeah.
Is that kids can get lost.
Yeah.
We're not encouraging that. We're not encouraging people to follow grandmothers that aren't theirs. Okay.
So, don't be Jared. Okay. Never be Jared.
Okay. Like, anyone listening, that's not what we're suggesting. However, you have a very good point, Jared, about you did get lost, but how easy it was to find a cast member who could find your parents. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, looking back, I couldn't have been in better hands or a better place to get lost, you know? And I remember how scared and freaking out my mom was at the time. But I remember how quickly it was resolved, you know, and I only stood by a few cast members for 20 minutes tops before everybody was together.
And if that grandmother's watching or listening, thank you for allowing Jared to follow you, even though he had no idea who you were and you didn't know who he was. Just saying, if yeah, she's listening, shout out to the faceless, nameless grandmother.
Mystery grandmother that I followed wrongly.
Thank you.
20 years ago.
Yeah, it's all good.
So jumping into the episode today, I think that was a really good, you know, sort of prologue rather, where basically Alyssa and I, just to wrap things up with that beginning point, what we're trying to say is this is not a one size fits all. We're just giving you guys advice and tips from our experience, both from working in the travel blogging world, but also Alyssa with her extensive experience working in Disney travel planning and planning Disney vacations, which we couldn't even quantify how many Disney trips you've planned with little ones involved, Alyssa. So I have no doubt you've been able to give a lot of pro tips about that over the years. We're going to give you guys as many of those tips and tricks as we can, because let's be honest, a good chunk of Disney trips, if not the majority, do have children under the age of 10 involved. Not all of them. We've already discussed a few other kinds of trips, like Disney's trips for couples and Disney trips for adults, but a lot of Disney trips have their kids with them. That's what you do. You go to Disney with your family, and it's how it all starts. It's how it started for me, and like Alyssa was alluding to. So let's start first, just bare bones starting off. if you are, in fact, bringing an infant, because I do think we should mention a few helpful tips and tricks about that, Alyssa. For starters, you don't have to pay for that ticket until a certain age. Do you want to talk about that, Alyssa?
Yes. So that's a good point. So children below the age of 3 are free at Disney. So don't have to pay for a ticket. Don't have to pay for food, but you're not ordering them food per se. You know, they're freebies. So, you know, I've seen Jared try to get in the park saying he's 2.5. It doesn't work.
It's one time.
It just doesn't work. Okay. You can't walk up and go, I'm 2.5. And they're not going to let you in because Jared, yeah, you look older than 2.5. So just saying, if you're trying to be an adult like Jared and trying to sneak in for under 3, not going to work. But if you are legitimately under 3, you go in for free. So yes, that is a very, very good point. A lot of times people say, oh, you know, my kid's only 1.5 years. Why am I paying? You don't have to pay for tickets. For sure.
Yeah. And, you know, one other point I wanted to kind of get back to real quick with what you were saying, Alyssa, is like your kids, the kids aren't going to remember every single thing. Yeah, but the parents will, you know, like you will. That's why you do it. Like my mom always said that, like how, you know, like I knew when you guys were really little, you guys weren't going to remember all these things, but I got to experience all those memories. And I remember bringing my daughter to meet her favorite princess before she could remember it. Like I remember that. And, you know, that's a really good point. And it's important for people to remember that, because I see a lot of parents just smiling ear to ear with their babies walking around Disney. And I know, like, the baby, when you're 6 months, you don't got a lot going on up there, believe it or not. You know, I understand you're not remembering things. You're seeing like flashes or whatever. I don't know about you, Alyssa. I don't have a lot of memories from before 6 months. But the point is that it's still so nice to see the parents bring their babies anyways, because they're remembering it and they're doing it anyways. So I just wanted to briefly say that.
To be honest, it's a different time than it was even, certainly when I was younger. And then even when my kids were younger, you know, just nowadays with the cell phones and, you know, the videos and the FaceTiming and all that, it's a different era of technology. You know, when my kids were younger, everything was like just pictures, which pictures are great, don't get me wrong. And when I was a child at Disney, you know, there was no video. There was no video. There were no cell phones. So it's a much easier time frame. Like you said, Jared, maybe the kids won't remember, but the adults will be able to make those memories for the kids, almost being the historian of the trip.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a really good point. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, when I look at a lot of trips with little ones, it is so wonderful to see. And we're going to talk about this a lot more in like, in our next episode. So stay tuned, but, it's great to see like the different generations of Disney people, like so happy, especially when a little one is there. When you see like a little kid seeing a parade for the first time and it's like their eyes are just like lit up and you're like, whoa, I didn't know what a parade was, but this is incredible. Like, you know, or fireworks, like these are things that, you know, the kids get to experience these things for the first time in their life at Disney.
I've seen a lot of, Jared, tell me if you've seen this as well. And I have a feeling you're going to say yes. This is more of the blog side. I obviously don't do a lot of blog reporting like I used to, like, you know, years ago. Mm-hmm. But Jared, tell me if this sounds familiar to you. I, even as of recently, if I've ever tried to help out, you know, if you stand at the end of Main Street, I should say the beginning of Main Street, kind of where the Christmas tree gets put. I don't know what you call that. Is there an area for the name for that? At the beginning of Main Street? But, you know, everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're looking straight at the castle, right? So you're right there. And I waited there for a parade or something, right? And as you know, either way that you're coming in and sort of funneling into Main Street, you're coming around the circle. And then all of a sudden, there's the money shot of the castle. And Jared, tell me if this has happened to you, where I'll be waiting there for whatever I need to be there for. And I hear a mother say, okay, we're almost turning the corner. And then the castle appears and she's like, oh, look at the castle. You know, it's the first time for the kid. Yep. And the kid is just like, what? I've actually gotten to experience that child's reaction to the first time seeing Cinderella's castle. Has that happened to you, Jared? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, 100%. The amount of times I've gotten to witness a moment first, just like that is really a blessing, you know?
Yeah.
Because those moments actually help me get through the weeks where, you know, we're running around like crazy and it's super busy and, you know, maybe it's not the most magical work week of your life, but you stop for a second because you do get to see a kid walking down Main Street, seeing the castle for the first time and lighting up. Whoa. And then
and the mother's lighting up as much as the child is.
Exactly. You know, and that shows you how rewarding it is that not only we get to do what we do, but also, you know, be near a place like this that people have spent so long planning for and saving up for and getting prepared for. I mean, it really is a blessing. But
or Jared, just real quick, not to belabor this, I'll end here. I'm sure you've waited for a character for the blog. And let's say maybe it's Mickey or Princess or whatever. And you see a child who is maybe in front of you or two in front of you. And it's the first time that they're meeting that character. And you're actually there witnessing that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool as well.
Look, it's not Disney, but I can tell you, I was, I believe I was 4 years old, just to show you guys that I'm not too embarrassed of myself. I went to Six Flags the first time and apparently waited an hour with my stepdad to meet Batman. He said he could not like he couldn't get me to stop like fidgeting and moving around and looking side to side how many more people were in front of me in line. I don't really remember this, but the point is that, you know, when you're a kid and you're that young, it really is such a huge moment for you and you feel like you're meeting your hero. And to see that through a kid's eyes is so special. It really is.
I'm really lucky to be able to see those moments. And I know that we see them. I mean, Jared, I know we're getting off topic, but like how many proposals have you seen?
Like I said in a recent episode, I have no idea how many proposal photos that people have had to like magically erase me from because I'm in the background sweating the popcorn and chugging water, you know, taking it's photos special. Of a cupcake like this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, yeah, we're lucky. But, we're lucky. Anyway, I digress. Sorry to take us off course.
No, it's okay. So speaking specifically about infants, there's a few things we want to touch upon. For starters, I want to talk about the baby care centers because these are located in all four parks and it's super amazing that Disney has these. Usually they are typically offered and available right next to where the first aid stations are. But the baby care centers will offer things like a quiet place for moms to nurse or clean or change tables. They also offer TVs with Disney movies for kids, you know, sinks, microwaves, or even just a place with low lighting for you to escape the crowded parks. You know, so really amazing that Disney offers these and has these available. Super important, obviously, for when you have a baby, you know, very young or kids, you know, under 2-3 years old, very, very important to utilize these. So don't be afraid to ask a cast member where the closest one is. They'll also be listed on your park maps, things like that. So just wanted to briefly mention that because I've seen a lot of moms sort of panicking and asking about those, and they'll be like breath of relief when they find out that they exist. Also in the vast majority of Disney bathrooms, there's not only family bathrooms located all over across the parks, but you're also going to find changing tables, things of that nature inside of the bathrooms for both the moms and the dads. Don't worry, dads. But also it's just, you know, these are, you know, you might be thinking, Jared, this is kind of a boring part of the episode, but these are important pieces of information for you to know about. Because if you have a trip coming up with a 1-year-old or a 6-month-old or something, and you're nervous about that, just remember, like, Disney is prepared. Trust me, you're not the first ones to bring, 1-year-old into Disney World. and you certainly won't be the last. So they are very prepared for all these things, and cast members are also always around to help you with all these sort of things. So wanted to briefly mention that, but I don't want to spend a ton of time on the under 3 years old section of this episode. I just wanted to mention that Alyssa already did that. First of all, if you are underneath 3 years old, you're getting into the parks for free. So don't worry about those tickets. There are baby care centers. There's lots of places all across the park to take care of your kid from a perspective of benches or shaded areas to family bathrooms and things like that.
And I think also one other thing to real quickly mention, Jared, because I do think it, before we move off of the zero to, you know, the infant sort of area or time frame, is rider swap. I think that's really important to mention. Yeah, because a lot of times people say, oh, you know, how's this going to work? We have a 7 year old and a 1.5 year old. I guess, you know, not going to go on the attraction at all. So rider swap, which most people probably know what it is, but it would allow mom to go with the 7 year old while dad stays back with the infant or whatever. I was going to say toddler. And then once she gets off, dad can go back on and doesn't have to wait in the long line. So it is, I think rider swap is very considerate of families with children with, that are very young, so that the parents can also experience those really fun attractions that they won't be able to go on with an infant.
Rider swap is one of the greatest inventions I think theme parks have. I'm not sure who first came up with that idea, but they were thinking about everybody. And that's really important because, you know, I know my parents utilized it a lot growing up when I had, you know, one of my younger siblings who was too small or napping or whatever, one of the many reasons why they couldn't go, you know, on a attraction. It's really great because if dad stays around the first ride through, then dad can go on the second time. Plus the kids love it because some of the other kids get to go on the ride twice. So, hey,
and they don't have to go back into the long line the second time.
Exactly.
So it's, I just had to mention that because I feel like that does apply to the littles.
No, 100%. Another thing with little ones, and to be honest, this will apply to a lot of kids over the age of three, so it's not like this is exclusive to kids under three, but, you know, of course, plan for naps and plan for these kind of things throughout your day. If you have to take a midday break, go back to the resort for a few hours, come back, that is okay. A lot of families do that. Nothing wrong with that at all. If you know you're going to be sticking around until firework time and you're a little concerned about how your kids are going to make it through that, then maybe it is a good idea to pause for an hour or two at an indoor restaurant and let your child nap or something while you can, you know, grab a meal or get some AC. These are things to sort of think ahead about. But on top of that, don't worry too much about things like strollers. Obviously, you're more than welcome to bring your strollers, but you can also rent strollers over at Disney. Like, that's something that's a lot of people do every single day, so have no fear. And just be aware of these kind of things, because I know it's probably a panic, like, oh, what if my kid gets really tired? Does our whole day get derailed? No, it's all right. Don't worry. You know, Disney is quite literally prepared for every single one of these circumstances. So not to worry.
I'm just going to, can I piggyback on that for just a second?
Yeah,
of course. A mom who has been to Disney with young kids, I don't recall any Disney vacation ever. Like, and we've taken many with our kids, that we did not break up our day by going back to our resort ever. Like,
there you go.
I don't think we had one. Now, I am not saying if somebody's listening or watching and they go, you know, from early morning till late at night, are they doing it wrong? Absolutely not. You're doing you. That's great. But I can tell you that whether it was with my oldest son, my two oldest kids, or all three of them, we would never have made it from rope drop to closing. Just, we wouldn't have done it. And so for us, we took advantage of the really amazing resorts at Walt Disney World, and we would do that mid-afternoon break. And as Jared, you suggested, I call it shutting the engines down. That's all it is, shutting the engines down, enjoying the pool, getting a bite to eat. We used to nap our kids in the middle of the day for hour, 2 hours. And that just was enough to start the engines back up around late afternoon and get us through the evening. Now, again, I'm not saying that if you're a rope dropper to closer, that's wrong. It's not. But I will tell you, there are many families that cannot do that. And if they do, they regret it. Because by the time fireworks roll around, the kids are just, they're done. And you're like, okay, what did I just do? So great, great point. I tell all my clients, you know, you do whatever you want, but this is a huge suggestion of mine. And when they come back, many of them say, that was the key for us to have really, really fun days with many reduced meltdowns.
No, I mean, I can just say confidently that, look, I'm 28 years old, and when I do Disney trips now, I still like to take midday breaks. So I can't imagine what it's like when you have children. But you know,
I can't get through the whole day.
That was like 14 hours straight. Are you kidding me? I need a nap. But nap time midday sounds awesome. Yeah, trust me. Alyssa has seen me post festival days and post party days. We're in rough shape, but
Not pretty, but we get the content out.
But we do. We might not be in perfect shape at the end, but the content
is done. We get it done.
No, but one of the things I just wanted to mention is those ways to break up your Disney days are so important with little ones, especially because it's not like you can go on every single attraction and do all these things anyways when you do have those little ones. You know, so it's not like, oh my gosh, my 2-year-old's going to miss the Tron Lightning Lane. Like, I'm sorry, but the 2-year-old isn't going to make it on Tron. So it's okay if you go take a 3-4 hour break and come back at nighttime where your kid can enjoy Disney at nighttime, because Disney is a completely different experience when you are seeing it at nighttime with all the lights lit up, and your child might see the castle lit up at nighttime or see, you know, beacons at Epcot for the first time and be like, whoa. And all of a sudden you got these more magic moments that you wouldn't have had you not taken that 3-4 hour break. So
one other tip, Jared, I know we're getting close to the intermission, or what do you call it? Not intermission, the break.
Yeah, the break.
Mid episode break. But just one other quick thing I want to mention. And I know we're going to talk about resorts and dining and all that great stuff with littles. And I know we're not just focusing on 0 to 3 anymore. I think we're expanding it for all children.
We are.
But the other thing I do want to mention, I think it's a good tip. If you can do it, I know not everyone can. When you have little kids, trying to plan your vacations around less crowded times of the year is also a really good tip. And I'll tell you why, because many young kids struggle to stand in long lines. You know what I mean? Like, they get impatient. You know, we know that, right? You know, patience isn't the easiest thing for a little kid. So if you can try to find those timeframes, and a Mickey Travels agent can help guide you where it's a little less crowded, I think it will also make for a little bit more of a pleasant experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's amazing advice, especially not just from a crowd perspective, but also if you're going to Orlando and Walt Disney World in July, for example, you might have some grumpier children in 105. I know I get grumpier in 105. So, you know, just these are things that you can plan around. Now, don't get me wrong. If July is your only time you can do it as a family, still take the trip. Like, don't let that stop you. But these are things that you can think ahead about, and your Mickey Travels agent can help you with. And speaking of Mickey Travels, now is a great time to take that mid-episode break, because I want to mention that this episode and every episode of the Mickey Blog Podcast is brought to you by Mickey Travels. And Mickey Travels is a nationally recognized leader in Disney vacation planning. They are diamond earmarked by Disney, and their services are always 100% free. So reach out to Mickey Travels today for a free quote on your Disney vacation at MickeyTravels.com. That's MickeyTravels.com. Make magic one vacation at a time. And again, this episode and all the episodes in this series where we are, you know, talking about Disney for different age groups and different people, I mean, there's nobody who's going to give you better advice and better planning tips, tricks, and all that than your Mickey Travels agent. They're going to be able to, their first step is going to, they want that information. They're going to want to know how many kids are in your party. Are there kids in your party? Is this a special occasion? Are you planning for adults? Are you planning for teenagers? These, because they know how to handle all these different kinds of trips, and they'll know the best tips and tricks for all these different kinds of trips. So, you know, rather than just listening to Alyssa and I give you some tips, feel free, of course, and we highly recommend reaching out to Mickey Travels directly to plan your next Disney vacation, because they can actually help you specifically. Hey, I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. What's my best move for this day at Magic Kingdom? Trust me, they will help you with that. And beyond that, best hotels and where to stay, and best dinners and what to book, which we're going to talk about next. These are things that your Mickey Travels agent will also be able to help you with. So moving on to the second half of the episode, Alyssa, we both wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, great resorts to stay at, as well as character experiences at dining locations, great dining locations for kids and little ones specifically. But I also want to spend at least the next like 5-ish minutes, maybe longer, talking about that age range between like, you know, more 3 to 8 or 9, 10 years old. And we will touch upon more about kids in general in the next episode of our series. So have no fear. But as Alyssa said, this episode quickly didn't turn into just little ones about like, you know, look, I mean, I was 9 years old and I was 3'11", so I was a little one for a long time, first of all. But, you know, we all have late growth spurts. Well, not all of us, but some of us do, and I did. The point is that if your kid's 9 years old, they're still a little one in the grand scheme of the world. So I do want to touch upon having kids at that age. The first thing I want to touch upon in these next, you know, 5 to 10 minutes before we move over to resorts and dining and things, Alyssa, is obviously figure out before you go, biggest piece of advice, because your 2-year-old, you might know they really love Winnie the Pooh. That's because that's all they talk about. That's their one stuffed animal. But once you hit that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 range, your kid's going to really let you know the things they love. They're watching the same movies over and over again. My mom told me from age 2 to 5, I watched Lion King about every single day of my life. Like, these are things that your kids will let you know about. I started loving Batman, Superman, Star Wars, Marvel, these things at 5, 6, 7 years old. And it's important to know exactly what your kids really want to see or what to do, because you're going to Disney. Disney's going to have things themed after these things, and you're going to want to make sure you partake in them. So having said that, what else do you have in mind for what I'm talking about specifically, Alyssa? Because I just think it's really important to like to game plan, at least whether you are planning yourself or ideally going through a Mickey Travels agent, to know, okay, my kid really loves cars. Why is that important? Where could you go, Alyssa?
That's a really good point. And we actually get a lot of inquiries where people will specifically mention what their kids are interested in. My kid is a huge Star Wars fan. You know, my kid is, you know, if they say they're a huge Harry Potter fan, sorry, not helping you out here, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll say, my daughter loves the princesses, or even a specific princess. You know, oh my gosh, my daughter loves Moana. And then we can guide these guests as to make sure that they know you will find these characters in these locations. Because otherwise, think about it, Jared, like, if you don't know, you know, where am I going? I don't know the parks very well. I don't know where I'm going. You're going to spend more time hunting down these characters that you may or may not find. You know, for example, you know, I've heard of people that are looking for Figment in Animal Kingdom. Like, I know he's here. He's probably on the safari. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably on the safari. No, there's no dinosaurs on the safari. But anyway,
yeah.
But all joking aside, have you heard that, Jared, where people are like, oh, you know what? I know, you know, maybe Figment isn't the right one, but, you know, they're looking for things and they're just not even close to the right area. And I want so bad to sort of be like, oh, like, you're not going to find that here.
look, I mean, today I witnessed something that was an all-time moment of like, this is why you need a Disney travel agent. This is why you should, you know, work with someone who can give you the best advice and help you. I got on the parking lot tram at Animal Kingdom to go back to my car. And, you know, the guy had asked me which parking lot was I in. And I had said Dinosaur. And he said, okay, great, we're going there. And then they asked the next family right behind me. This is a real story. I could not be lying about this. They asked the next family, hey, where are you guys headed? And they're like, Epcot. And the guy said, okay, you're going to want to get a bus. Please head that way and get on a bus and things like. He was about to get on a parking lot tram to the other side of the parking lot.
Great example.
To go to Epcot. And it sounds crazy what I'm saying, but I promise you, I have seen these kinds of examples so many times. I've seen family members get off at the Contemporary and say, here, hey, kids, this is where Disney Springs is. Like, I'm not lying to you. These are real lines that people have said before. And it's not like I'm judging them. This is their first time.
I've heard people who think the Skyliner goes to Universal.
And I hate to laugh because the truth is.
We should laugh. But Jared, this is why you use a Mickey Travels agent. Because exactly. They will tell you these things as to best way to get from here to there. The best place to find your favorite character. Oh, now to be honest with you, let's be honest. Most of our Mickey Travels clients probably don't have a car. The majority, mm-hmm. Right? I think that's not all.
I think that's fair.
Don't have a car, so we wouldn't have the tram issue that you experienced this morning. But it's a great example. But going back to what you said though, Jared, about, you know, like we do get a lot of inquiries of this is a must do for my child. They really love this character. They really love this experience. And I'll give you another example, Jared, where someone will say, my son is obsessed with Star Wars. Awesome. That's great. By the way, we have no need to go to Hollywood Studios this trip.
You're like, well, that doesn't add up.
So we're like, well, no, that's where Star Wars lives. And they're like, oh, now once you tell them that, they're like, oh, we're in, we're sold. But had they not sort of known, you know, would they maybe have skipped it all together? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So.
No, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who, oh my gosh, my kids love Moana because, well, it's Disney's most watched film in the world right now. They're animated Moana films. So there's a lot of kids who love Moana, but they'll tell you, yeah, we only have enough time to go to Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, but my kids really love Moana. Well, Moana meets and greets at the other two parks, and at Epcot, you got an entire Moana walkthrough attraction that kids absolutely adore. So, I mean, these are things that it's important. Like, I know it sounds like I'm screaming into the void here, but like, if you are bringing kids and of any age, but especially between that range of, you know, 2 to 10 years old, where their fantasies are at their peak and their imaginations are running wild. Because I remember being that age. I remember I thought I could realistically, like a realistic career path was being a Jedi until the age of probably 8.
Jared, the dream really is still disappointed. Alive.
Hey, that's true. It's not over.
The dream is still alive.
But
if you can't be a Jedi.
Hey, exactly. Exactly. But no, I mean, look, and again, it doesn't exist anymore, Alyssa, but I remember being a kid and thinking that way. And of course, my mom brought me to Hollywood Studios or MGM at the time to do the Jedi Training Academy that kids used to enjoy. Like, these are things that, like, if you mention these things, like, I used to watch Indiana Jones at 9, 10 years old. And when I first watched that Indiana Jones show, my mind was like blown. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. For the record, I still think that show's the coolest thing ever. I watch it all the time when I go to the park, not during working hours, Alyssa, but I'm just saying, the point is that
Jared's doing when he's supposed
to report. I disappear at Hollywood Studios,
I'm here reporting, but you're actually at the Epic Stunt Spectacular.
It's just once a week. I just, you know, disappear for a few hours.
Jared, I'm following you from now on when you go reporting.
Yeah, just, I get
I'm
it.
I'm going to be like in a hat and sunglasses and a mustache. And I'm going to be like, he's reporting. Oh, he's going into Indiana Jones.
There he great. Is.
Yeah.
Third show today. The guy's addicted. No, but like just to really hammer home this point, like you know, whether it is Magic Kingdom, if you have a daughter who's obsessed with princesses, if you have a son who is obsessed with Peter Pan, you know, these are things that if you know about, or if you have a kid who loves Beauty and the Beast, like favorite film, maybe you consider eating at the Beauty and the Beast restaurant located inside of the Beast Castle. Like maybe that's something you'd consider, but you know, you want to figure these things out. So, you know, I'm sure you're already aware from the many, many times you've watched the same Disney film over and over again, or the many times your kid talks about Star Wars or Marvel or any of these things, but these are just things to be aware of. And then the last piece of advice I want to give on kids, you know, under the age of 10 is, of course, be aware of height requirements and things of that nature. It's heartbreaking, Alyssa, when I see a little kid walk up. They are so excited for Slinky Dog Dash.
Devastating.
And they're just off by like 4 inches, and the parent didn't check ahead of time. So it's more on the parent than the kid, honestly. It's like,
well, can I say, Jared,
it's
also
rough.
That is such a good point. But I also want to stress to our viewers and listeners, and Jared, I think you'll agree with me. Sometimes people think, you know, an inch off, they're going to let them on. Do you agree, Jared, these cast members, and I don't blame them, so I'm not saying this with any judgment, they are to the millimeter in high. I mean, I've seen turn away like maybe if they put another pair of socks on, they would have gotten it or something like that. But no joke, like I've been in line and heard people say, they're close enough. Like the parents. You probably heard that too, Jared. Please take our advice. I think, Jared, what you said is brilliant. Check out the height requirements. Your Mickey Travels agent can tell you the height requirements for all of the height required attractions at Walt Disney World. Heed the restrictions and measure your child to the exactness. Because It is devastating. I've seen it that is. More. Actually, you know where I've seen it more than anything? At Flight of Passage.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That one seems to be the one I see a lot.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Honestly, the one I see it where kids are the most bummed is Slinky Dog Dash. Because it's a kid's roller coaster, but it is like a step up from a lot of like little kids' roller coasters. It's your first step into getting into bigger coasters. And I've seen a lot of kids get heartbroken right outside of that ride. And just to add to Alyssa's point, this is how thorough a lot of cast members are, okay? It's not just measuring you at the very front of the line when you get in. They're going to measure you again right before you get on just to be extra safe. And I have actually witnessed, it was at Typhoon Lagoon.
Oh, they got the first one and they, oh. Yep.
I witnessed it at Typhoon Lagoon, which does have some height requirements for Crush and Gusher and some of the more intense water slides. I saw a little girl, she got through the first step thinking she was going to go on, and she got up to the top and they told her no. And it's super, super upsetting to see, but this is Disney takes safety very careful, very seriously. And they have to be careful with these things. So, you know,
prepare parents.
Yeah. Prepare. As Scar says, be prepared. And that's going to be my last Disney pun of the day, I think. Let's move on to specifics on resorts and also specifics on dining experiences, character experiences that you can enjoy and you should enjoy. Because again, it does follow into the same category about, you know, how important it is that you know exactly what your kid's going to enjoy before you go. But at the same time, there are a lot of great Disney resorts that fit, you know, certain specifics. If you like this, you're going to want to go to this resort. So Alyssa, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I'm sure you already have a few in mind. I definitely have a few in mind that are so great for kids, but also great, you know, specifically if you're a fan of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing that kind of hits me, I do think about the value resorts, and it's not because of the money per se, because, you know, it's not a budget thing. But you know, the all-star resorts, the movies, the music, you know, the sports, excuse me, I almost blanked. The icons are so larger than life And kids love that. Same, by the way, at Art of Animation. You've got Cars, Lion King, Little Mermaid. Everything is so big. Obviously, Finding Nemo, excuse me. The Big Blue Pool, go underneath, you hear the music. Like, everything is just so kid-oriented. So I have to say that. Just one other thing, and I'm going to let you take over your thoughts. I do have to mention Animal Kingdom Lodge. And the reason I mention Animal Kingdom Lodge when it comes to children under 10 is many kids love animals. And whether you even decide to splurge for a Savannah View room, which is a little more pricey, you can do a standard view room. There's all these lookout areas, both inside the resort and on the back part of the resort, where you will see roaming animals. You will see cast members feeding animals and taking care of them. You will see little areas that tell facts about the animals. I don't know of many kids that don't find the animal aspect of Animal Kingdom Lodge to be very appealing to them. And so I would say you cannot go wrong when kids go to Animal Kingdom Lodge as well.
No, I think that's a really good piece of advice. I mean, a lot of the value resorts, as Alyssa was saying, are going to be more kid-friendly. It's not going to have your fine dining restaurants. They're going to be food court-oriented. You're going to have
busier
arcades, lots of kids running around. But there's a reason for that. They are kid-oriented. And yeah. I always see so many kids having an absolute blast at the All-Star Resorts, at Art of Animation, at Pop Century. But Art of Animation is one that I definitely wanted to give a shout out to, just because they have like larger than life, you know, characters over there, Disney animated characters that really stick out to you. If you're a Cars fan, for example, being able to walk around and see the different cars from the film, it's super, super cool. You can feel like you're walking by the Cozy Cone Motel and things like that. It's really amazing. Same thing over there. They have a whole Finding Nemo section that's fully themed after Finding Nemo. So these are things to just think about if you do have kids that are fans of those franchises that I just mentioned. But, you know, don't think that, okay, in order for my kids to have fun, we should stay at a value resort. Like, that's not the case. I mean, do I recommend, you know, do I think you need to book your Disney trip at the Grand Floridian or Disney's Riviera Resort if you have little kids that you know would have more fun at one of the values? Like, of course, think about that. But at the same time, you know, for example, Disney's Polynesian is a place that kids absolutely adore and love and run around going crazy enjoying that resort. I mean, Disney's Contemporary, you got Chef Mickey's right in the center of that. And a lot of kids love running around Disney's Contemporary. Also, a lot of the deluxe and, you know, a lot of the deluxe as well as the moderate resorts will have, you know, more and bigger themed pool areas, which kids will, of course, love. And another resort I have to mention, Alyssa, because you shouted out a big time deluxe resort, I have to also shout one out, and that's the Yacht and Beach Club, because they have Stormalong Bay, which is known throughout Walt Disney World as the best pool on property, and they have an incredible water slide there, sand bottom pools, huge play areas. You got, you know, beaches and cream. Kids get to go get ice cream. I mean,
pirate ship.
Oh, the pirate ship. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. So there's so many Disney resorts that like could fit no matter what. Every Disney resort is going to be fun for a kid. Let me just clarify that. Like there's play areas, there's pools, there's Disney characters that exists at every Disney resort. So don't worry about it. But
and I want to say
some
one other
might
thing.
Be more fun.
I know we're going to shift over to dining, but before we do, the one other thing I do want to mention, since this is about kids, is many of the resorts have Movies Under the Stars.
Yeah,
and I think that's another important thing. You know, you can see those at almost all of the resorts where they'll set up little chairs. They have a big movie screen. They'll put Disney movies on. And this doesn't happen just at the value resorts. They put it out on the beach of the Beach and Yacht Club. I've seen it at the boardwalk in that courtyard area where they'll set up movies at night. That is another thing that is very geared towards children. So I think that's a really fun aspect of all the Disney resorts as well.
No, I totally agree with you on that one. I think that beyond that, there's just lots of activities daily for kids and for the whole family. A lot of pools will have daily activities and games for kids to play. Yep. Where lifeguards and cast members will be on site with a microphone,
trivia.
I participate in these things, Alyssa. I once made a 7-year-old cry because I knew more Disney princess facts than her.
Let me set this visual up. So while Jared's working, he runs over to Hollywood Studios to watch Indiana Jones, but then on the way back to wherever he's supposed to be working, he runs to Stormalong Bay, takes a dip in the pool, does some trivia, makes some kids cry, and then claims that as a day of working. Is that my visual?
I mean, you almost got it. I mean, I would say so. Yeah, pretty much. Maybe a cupcake or two in there.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
it's time for a snack. It's all good.
Yeah, I get a Mickey bar. I just think it. You know, again, I know we sort of kept hammering home the same point there for a little bit, but knowing what your kids are going to enjoy the most and knowing like musts, whether your kid loves animals, that's great to know. Whether your kid really loves Moana, whether your kid really loves cars, these will also help you decide on a Disney resort, you know, because you might not find as much Incredibles things at the parks, although you can meet the characters over at Hollywood Studios. But if your kid's a big Incredibles fan, maybe you want to stay in one of the Incredibles themed rooms over at Disney's Contemporary. These are things to think about. And again, your Mickey Travels agent can help you with that. But let's also talk about dining and any other little things we want to think about before we wrap up today's episode, Alyssa, because there are so many amazing restaurants at Walt Disney World and Disneyland and even Disney Cruise Line. But the thing that I often think about with, you know, we spoke heavily in the Disney Couples episode about, you know, planning your Disney trip with fine dining experiences and these more luxury experiences and signature dining. But character dining is incredible at these Disney parks. And there's a reason why those character dining experiences are so popular with kids, especially little kids. So I want to talk about some of our favorites with that and places we would definitely recommend, like, oh, you got to bring your kid there and you got to experience that. So is there anything in mind that immediately pops up for you? Obviously, we're spanning a lot of different resorts, all four parks, Disney Springs. You can name almost anything. But yeah, there's a lot of different options here.
So just because I think we could spend an episode just on this. Kind of run through a few that come to my mind. Certainly, I agree with you. Character dining. The epitome of character dining that comes to mind is Chef Mickey's in the Contemporary Resort. It's the Fab Five. It's just
monorail going by.
Yeah, it's, you know, waving the towel. I mean, it's everything that exudes Disney. And it's been around forever. So obviously that's a given. Now, if you're more into the princesses, you have Cinderella's Royal Table, 1900 Park Fair is coming back. You know, that's really exciting. So I'm not going to touch on every character offering, but I did want to real briefly before I kind of toss it over to you, a couple things that come to mind that I know are real kid pleasers would be 50s Primetime and Sci-Fi Dine-In over at Hollywood Studios. Very themed, very fun. The cast is really interactive with the family, but certainly with the kids, especially 50s Primetime. I mean, to me, that's just, I remember going there with my kids younger, and they didn't know what to make of it when the waitress was like, get your hand, you know, your elbows off the table. They were like, what is going on here? I mean, it was awesome. Sci-Fi, you know, you're sitting in a car. Where do you sit in a car in a drive-in theater? And, you know, it's dark. And so I have to mention, obviously, those are two really fun themed restaurants that I think are very kid friendly. And I think, you know, kids certainly enjoy. And then lastly, and then Jared, I'll let you take it over. You've sort of already sort of touched on it, but I have to mention Beaches and Cream just because, you know, burgers and fries and grilled cheese and tomato soup and the kitchen
milkshakes.
Milkshakes and sundaes. I mean, it's a kid's dream. So that's another one I would say that would be very, very kid friendly.
I think those are great, great choices. And to be honest with you, like Alyssa said, we could do an entire episode just on character dining and fun dining experiences at Disney. In fact, that might be something I'm going to write down. But I want to name a few that also come to mind for me. Ohana is one that I really love over at Disney's Polynesian. Not only does it have a very cool menu and list of items that you're going to be able to eat, but there are characters over there as well. If you go over to Grand Floridian pretty soon, you'll be able to enjoy 1900 Park Fair. That's a character dining experience that is returning. Very exciting.
Very soon.
In fact, when you're listening to this episode, it should be out. It should be back.
Yes.
In its full form. So that's exciting. But I mean, it's very, very fun. I have a slightly embarrassing story of me from that restaurant as a child, but we don't need to get into that today. We touched a little bit about some of the park restaurants, but all four of the parks do have these amazing restaurants for kids. Be Our Guest is one that if you're, of course, a Beauty and the Beast fan, that's something you're going to want to experience. But if your kid is a Pooh fan, I always, always, always recommend, going over to Magic Kingdom as well for, I'm forgetting Crystal Palace. I can't believe that. Wow. Jeez. See, brain freeze there for a second. And I was like thinking about Crystal Palace, the name specifically, for like the past 20 minutes. I was like, don't forget to mention Crystal Palace. And here I go, forgetting it. Point is that that's a really wonderful restaurant as well. Over at Animal Kingdom, you got places like Tusker House. Mm-hmm. And then if you go over to Epcot, there's so many wonderful restaurants around World Showcase. But if you love princesses, go to Akershus over in Norway. You know, there's so many great restaurants. It's impossible to name them all. But
I can't forget one that just came to my mind. A favorite, Cape May Cafe.
Oh, that's awesome. That is another good one. Yeah, and
and that's a breakfast character meal. What I love sometimes, Jared, I want to say this just real quick, is I love certain restaurants where they only have one of the meals of the day as character. I kind of like that because some of them have it, you know, all day long or just breakfast and dinner. But like Cape May Cafe, what I love about it is, you know, you can have that character breakfast experience and then still go for the New England clam bake at night without the characters because not everybody wants characters all the time, right? So you can go there and enjoy a great buffet and not have characters at nighttime. So I like the diversity of that.
I agree with you. Another one that I wanted to briefly touch upon, especially if you're a fan of the holidays and things of that nature, is, you know, Hollywood and Vine, because during, you know, the fall time and winter time, it's a character dining experience regardless, but during the fall and winter, it gets rethemed to more, it's Minnie's Halloween and Vine. Like it's very cool how they do that. And I just really enjoy that.
That's cool. Shout out to Garden Grill.
Garden Grill, that's another one. There are so many character dining experiences at Disney. There's 0% chance Alyssa and I didn't like leave off at least a few here.
Jared, so. I think that we are going, I'm making an executive decision on air. I think we're going to do an episode on character dining at Walt Disney World. Spend the whole hour on it.
I think we could easily fill up an hour because there are so many wonderful character dining experiences. Oh, I love that idea. And I think there's going to be so much to talk about. I mean, again, there's 0% chance.
Stay tuned, friends. We're going to do an entire episode on, and I think maybe, Jared, I'm throwing this out. I'm throwing it out. Maybe also an episode on just fine dining at Walt Disney World. Concentrate on, you know, what each of those fine dining restaurants have to offer. I think we could sort of touch on a lot of that.
Well, I think the beautiful part about this podcast is sometimes you start an episode and you have no idea you're going to end the episode with new episode ideas.
New ideas. So, yeah. And I want to say one last thing. Sorry, I have so much. Jared, we just keep going. Let's just keep this
it's
going
true.
For another 2 hours.
She wants to say one more thing, and then we'll wrap it up in 3 hours.
There you go. And the last thing I want to say is, I know we touched upon great character dining for kids and other restaurants that are kid-friendly and themed. I also just want to mention, and I think you touched on it, Jared, is at the value resorts, they do have really fun food courts.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention that who doesn't love a good food court where you have different options and things like that. And I think that's very kid friendly. I mean, it's family friendly, but kids can choose between pizza or chicken nuggets or a salad or, you know, whatever. So let's not forget about the great food courts that are offered at the value resorts.
No, I think that's really, really excellent advice and something that it is good to know because, you know, the main point we wanted to hammer home during the whole dining section of this episode is just that, you know, again, if you know ahead of time what your kids are really going to enjoy when it comes to Disney, maybe you have a kid who just loves everything. They love princesses. They love Star Wars. They love Marvel. They love all of it. Great. That's awesome. One size fits all. But you're going to have your kids out there who absolutely love, I mean, love princesses and don't love anything else. Trust me, that was my little sister when she was a young girl. And I see it all the time, girls dressed as princesses walking down Main Street. They want to see Cinderella and they're not leaving until they see Cinderella. So like, if you have those kids, it's important to look up and remember, hey, okay, maybe she's too young. Maybe she's 4 or 5. Maybe she can't experience all these attractions that, you know, she's not tall enough for, but maybe we spend some time booking these character dining experiences with all the Disney princesses. And there's more than one where you can do dining experiences and meet princesses. So these are just things that it's food for thought. Again, as we always say, hey, there you go. As we always say on this podcast, this is not a one size fits all. We're just here to give you advice, but we do hope this episode helps some of you who are planning trips with kids, specifically little kids and kids below the age of 10 years old. We will have lots more episodes on different age groups and different age ranges. You can, of course, go back and listen to many of our past episodes on all sorts of Disney topics. As Alyssa alluded to, we are on episode 76, so we've been doing this for a while, and we have lots of episodes to help you out with anything and everything. It's not like you can't go back from the one a year ago and listen to it. I promise you, if it's relevant, it's relevant. But we're just here to help. That's what we do here at Mickey Blog and Mickey Travels. We're here to help tell you all about Disney, but also help plan your Disney vacations. So if you're new here to the Mickey Blog podcast, we appreciate you tuning in today and listening. We have new episodes that drop every single Friday. If you're new to Mickey Blog in general, head over to MickeyBlog.com where we cover all things Disney 365 days a year. And then last but not least, if you want to follow us on social media and if you like this podcast, do hit that subscribe button, leave a ranking or review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'd really appreciate it. And leave a comment if you ever have an episode request or, you know, anything request, or even if you just want to say, look, I really like that Alyssa co-host, but the other guy, not so sure about him.
I'll work on him. Just, you know, yeah. Leave the comments and
just let her know.
We'll do our best.
Yeah,
we'll take them to heart. I mean, we take them seriously.
All of them, the good and the bad.
Better than we were. We want every episode to be better than the last. But all joking aside, we have a lot of fun. As you can see, we take this seriously in the sense of what we do. But we also want you to know that we love what we do and we love sharing it. And we just have a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, we're glad you're along for the ride.
Couldn't agree more. All right. Well, thank you so much for everybody who tuned in today, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on any audio platform out there. We always appreciate the support for the Mickey Blog podcast. We will be back here again next Friday for a new episode, and we hope you have a magical rest of your day.
Bye.
See you next time.